When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to Castrol CarCast on Podcast One.
All right. Well, we cover a lot of ground in this show. Talk about the new RAV4, which I've turned the corner on, pardon the pun. And we get into some Leno Champ Car versus Chump Car. Got some stuff coming up with him.
Yeah. And good builds like Jonathan Ward and Rod Emery and Singer.
Yeah,
some of those things.
And a deep dive into that market of that custom build and whether you should go out and do that car yourself in terms of an investment. Yeah. Everyone should work on the car and breathe on the car and build a car. But I'm talking about putting $150 into something and wanting to get $150 back when you're
yeah.
when you're done. First, Tommy John doesn't give an F. They give three Fs. Fabric, fit and function, proprietary fabrics that perform like nothing you've ever worn before. No wedgie guarantee, comfortable stay-put waistbands, luxurious soft featherlight, moisture-wicking, breathable fabrics designed to move with you. No bunching or riding up. You've heard me say before, but about the best thing you could say about a product, whether it was underpants or toothpaste, is you just don't go back to whatever you used
yeah.
before. I made it to my late 40s before I put on a pair of Tommy Johns, and I will not use any other underwear. It's yeah. just, I won't do it. If you're on the rowing machine, like Matt and I like to do,
yeah.
it's perfect. If you're taking the dog out for a walk, like Philly cheesesteak, or jogging like Matt does, or just moving around, especially when it's hot outside, the best. You can shop at over 1,200 retail locations now across the country as well. It's Tommy John, right, Max Pata?
Hurry to TommyJohn.com/Adam for 20% off your first order. That's TommyJohn.com/Adam for 20% off. TommyJohn.com/Adam.
Get it on. Got to get it on. The church, but I got a mandate. Get it on. And welcome to Castrol's CarCast. I'm Adam Carolla. It's Matt, the moderator. DeAndrea over there.
Hello.
Lots to talk about in the automotive world. I'm going to go out. I'm curious. Matt, you guys are listening. Leno got a hold of me, I don't know, a few weeks ago. And he said, you want to do Champ Car with me mm-hmm. down at Fontana, and I went Champ Car. My vague recollection was some sort of indie type series
yeah.
from the 80s or 90s or something, but I wasn't really clear. And then I was also like, Fontana's a big, fast oval, has an infield,
yeah.
but you go down that long straight, then you go up onto the bank. And I thought, are we going to be driving open wheel? If you're driving open wheeled cars, as I picture a Champ Car at Fontana, you're doing 190 down that back straight.
Yeah, that sounds exciting.
It sounds pretty exciting. It also sounds like I can't picture Leno getting into one of those cars.
Yeah.
So I was sort of like, we're racing on Champ Car teams. And then I thought, Champ Car? I don't feel like I've seen a Champ Car, but I have a vague. You have the same recollection I have. So I typed in Champ Car into Google, and It's the Chump Car. I think it's the Lemons.
It's a big difference.
Well, it is, but it still says Champ Car. So to a car with a paddle on the roof and a chandelier hanging from it, you know. But when you type in Champ Car, Maxipata, does Champ Car? I'm curious. Why are we both having the same recollection?
I don't know. I just thought like whatever the series was, the predecessor to IndyCar before they some kind of merger or whatever. I thought the Champ series was just like, I don't know. I'm thinking like a little bit of, you know, like you said, like 80s, 90s, like a Michael Andretti era of racing, of driver, not owner, but driver.
So we're looking at a Champ Car, which is an Indy car. right?
Yeah.
Does it say IndyCar when you say Champ Car?
I think there was like a merger of two series, like Champ and Indy, mm-hmm. I believe.
Yeah, before 97, they were advertised as IndyCars.
All right. So, okay, Champ Car is IndyCar, and then our recollection was correct. But what's Champ Car now at Fontana? Because I think I typed in Champ Car, and basically the Chump Car came up.
And then,
if you type Champ Car into Google, Chump Car, it comes up first.
Oh.
That's weird.
Is there an event that's coming up in Fontana? See if you find what's coming up.
I mean, I guess Leno could have, whatever, autocorrect wrote Champ because he wrote that a hell of a lot more times in his life than Chump.
His producer, his producer was writing Chump Car and it autocorrected to Champ Car. And Fontana is where the Champ Car would have run.
Yeah.
So you can.
And then it got a little confusing. So what does that mean?
Now, if he just sent that to any other comedian, like if he'd sent it to Bill Burr, he wouldn't have known.
Yeah.
But I knew what Champ Car was.
Yeah, well, so, Bill Burr be sleeping like a baby. You've been up for three nights about this.
Got to drop a few pounds or I'm getting that Champ Car.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
It's all aerodynamics.
Yeah.
I got to get my aero helmet out.
Oh, man.
So I'm guessing coming up on Fontana, Max Zapata, not this weekend, but the next weekend, there must be a Champ Car thing.
Well, announcing in 2018, the Champ Car World Series was renamed Champ Car Endurance Series.
Oh, okay.
Oh, they're just making it worse.
All right.
As confusion
I'm
goes.
Simply saying when you're a producer for the Jay Leno series and you email me, when you say, would you like to participate at Fontana, which is a big indie track in the Champ Car series, please do a parenthesis and say it's the Champ Car.
Yeah.
Or whatever it is. Because I know enough about racing to think I'm racing in an Indy car.
Yeah. Also, anytime you invite somebody to drive a car or race a car, it's you always kind of want to throw out the car. Like you're going to be driving a Miata or a Ford Explorer painted up like the Jurassic Park or something.
Right.
You know, like there's a big difference between that and getting a, like a Honda Integra racing series sports car, like something with a cage and a,
Yeah. All right. So imagine my confusion. So, and it is funny because I rode in Champ Car and this thing came up as Champ Car, but it showed Chump Cars.
Yeah.
Anyway. So,
yeah, so the Open Wheel Racing Series had the trademark for Champ Car in the early 2000s, and then the trademark lapsed in 2013, so Champ Car grabbed it.
That's money well spent.
So that is going on Fontana this next weekend.
Yeah, so if you see Champ Car now, it's Champ Car.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
All right, so anyway, that's a fun Fontana
I mean, that'll
event.
Be good. It'll be fun.
It'll be...
I mean,
it'll be fun.
It's
versus
not as fun as 180 miles an hour in an open wheel car, but whatever.
Well, if you're gonna race in that series or what formerly was Champ Car series, if you're going 180, you're getting lapped. Like, I think those cars are 20.
Well, also
220. Those cars. You find out what an Indy car does at Fontana, but. IndyCar
does Indy
on
run
that,
Fontana
anymore? Yeah.
NASCAR does for sure.
I think Indy runs it. If you're on an Indy car and you're in Fontana, you're doing 209 down that straightaway.
Yeah. There's also, I don't know, it's just like, and then they say participate in a race. I mean, like, how are you going to participate in a champ race? Like a vintage?
Well, first things first. All I'm armed with is it's a race. It's at a big fast track, and you're using the word champ car.
I would have thought big oval fast car.
That's all I got for you. Now you could include more information, as in chump car, champ car / chump car.
A little bit like what are you driving? Like get it in your head. Like this is what you're doing.
Well, they may not know yet, but anyway. All right, so that'll be fun. Yes.
It's 207. You said 209.
Oh, my God.
Jesus.
Did I say 207 at some point?
Nah.
We have to go back and listen to the tape. Listen to the tape. I threw out a few different numbers.
Way
but,
off.
All right. Was that the top speed?
Yeah.
All right, but that means everyone else is going 207 or whatever it is. You know what I'm saying? That guy's on the pole.
Yeah.
I didn't say I'm setting the pole. I'm in fourth place.
No, that's 207. Fine. 207.
Okay. So that's what I thought I was going to be doing.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway.
Are you a little let down? Or relieved?
Well, I was like, I was first a little confused because Champ Cars, Indy, and it's at Fontana, runs Indy cars. And I was like, am I going to be doing 200 miles an hour? And then I thought, what? They would just throw me in a car like that day.
An open wheel.
Right.
It seems a little dangerous.
And it'd be a little freaky. But on the other hand, I don't know. Maybe they are because they said Champ Car. And that's all I got in my brain is some recollection of IndyCar is Champ Car. So I don't know where else to go with it. But I don't know. It just means we can have some fun instead of intensity. I was, I know you, I am going to eat my hat because I, for a thousand years, have been talking about RAV4 being a car for people that don't like cars, using it as an example of the sort of non-car car, like the thing with four wheels and a steering wheel that got you to work and back. But that was it.
The RAV4 and the CRV.
Yeah. And now they look pretty good.
It looks pretty good. Yeah.
I passed one in my neighborhood. Obviously, someone cleaning someone's house, not the owner of the house. No, that wouldn't be appropriate.
Did say piano tuning on the side,
but it had like the Mountaineer division or something on it, like
an adventure or something. Yeah,
yeah, like it, and it looked a little beefy and a little tough, and it looked pretty good.
My mom's been wanting a new car for the longest time. You know how this goes.
Yeah, we have loser parents.
Parent has no money, and they want the new car, and mom's been driving the 08 for a long time, and getting up there in age, I'm like, all right, what?
Jesus. I'm starting to think about all these poor guys that I know with their loser parents. Wait till they get older. It's going to be on loser on loser crime. Like they're going to go, hey, son, I'm old. I don't have shit either.
That's kind of what the parents are going to be so mad.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, well, what's the last car you're ever going to own? I mean, it's a little morbid, but like, yeah, what's the last car you're ever going to own? And I'm going to end up buying it. So what's going to be something nice for mom to drive, but also the least amount of drama for me, right?
Mm-hmm.
No maintenance, easy to drive, not expensive on fuel. Mm-hmm. And I was looking at the small SUVs and all the reviews come in and they're like Toyota RAV4 and Honda CRV. They're both fantastic. Honestly, I drove them both at the dealer and they were great. Liked them both. They seemed awfully similar as far as like what the small, very popular SUV or CUV would be. And I think maybe even the Honda CRV got a few better reviews. I just ended up with ordering a Toyota RAV4 because a friend works at Toyota. We ended up getting a good deal on the
Is it a hybrid?
And yeah, so
are they all hybrids?
No, they're not. And so I was talking to our buddy Dave, and he was saying, hey, you know, the hybrid is not that much more money. It has a better powertrain warranty and better gas mileage. You might want to get the hybrid. And I said, done. Let's do that. So that car is on order, and it's coming in. So I asked Toyota to send a press car, a Toyota RAV4 hybrid, so I can kind of get used to it and feel for it and know all the features. So when I send that out to mom, I know what I'm talking about. And already just driving it around here, the hybrid's got more power. It feels quick, not just off the line quick. Like I was, you know, I was getting on the freeway and you got to wait for the little red light to turn green because of all the traffic. Turn green, I hit it, chirp the tires.
Wow.
And it's all-wheel drive, so I don't know if it's just putting all the torque in the back off the line.
Probably.
But chirped the tires, which made me giggle. And then it scooted pretty good. And then on the freeway when I was passing, I hit it. And it fires up the gas engine and the electric motor. And it got some good passing power. So, you know, it's like 200 and something horsepower. It's probably like 185, 184 for the gas engine. by itself, and then the hybrid adds an extra, you know, 15 or 20 mm-hmm. horsepower, but all that torque. So it felt good. And even driving the way I do, which is not recommended, I was getting 30 miles to the gallon on the way here.
Well, I got to say, I was giving this some thought yesterday when I was driving in, which is I have a Jag. It's got a supercharger on it, and it has 508 horsepower.
Yeah, you might have the supercharged 6. You might 380.
I don't have the 6.
No? You have the 8?
I don't know.
I don't know.
You know better than me, but I'm pretty sure it's 8.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Okay.
It's got 500 horsepower.
Yeah.
And as I'm driving along the 134 and I'm coming toward here, you know, I'm behind the slow guy, and it's that kind of move where I'm looking in my mirror, and I see a guy coming up fast, and I'm behind the slow guy, but I got 500 horsepower, so I'm going to do the quick slide over and stomp on it move.
Yeah.
But there's a little delay.
Yeah.
Because it's a internal combustion engine, and it's not immediately on the pipe.
Right.
It takes a second. So obviously, the golf cart, boom. That's immediate.
Yeah.
The car with 500 horsepower, it's still a moment delay. It's not 3 seconds. It's it's long enough to scare you a little with the guy coming up behind you that we're not immediately out of his way. And I was kind of thinking to myself as I was doing that, I thought if I was driving Lynette's Tesla or even a Nissan Leaf, or a Chevy Volt, or Chevy Bolt, or Chevy Colt, or Chevy Schult. If I was driving that, I'd immediately be out of here.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Now,
Is that true? Is it that way with the RAV4?
It is. However, on your car, and a lot of the high-performance, just straight-up gas engine cars now, they dial back the throttle sensitivity in normal mode, and when you put it in sport mode, it'll fix that lag that you're feeling because the power is there because you are a little bit in the RPM range when you're doing 60. And that sport mode, because what it's trying to do is make it safe and comfortable for most people when they're going to do that move that you're doing. Mm-hmm. They don't want it to be jerky or like have that thing launch forward and scare somebody. But you put it in sport mode, and it really makes that throttle response crisper. I've noticed that in like a lot of the newer cars that have a sport mode. That's what it does. It's not increasing the power of the vehicle. It just makes it feel like it's peppier because of throttle response and gear changes, how quick it happens, something like that. So I don't know if the sport button is a one touch button, but you try it next time, just like on the center console, the little sport button with the little flag on it, I think, mm-hmm. in your Jag.
Mm-hmm.
Hit that, then do it, see if it makes a difference.
Mm. Yeah. Man, was that satisfying. That's why they call him Motorator, man. Because everyone else I know would go, oh, man, bummer. Stick some calls. But you have answers.
I try to.
The thing about Matt has answers for lots of different things, which is interesting. I feel the same way. I feel sort of compelled to give answers. It's always weird to me when people go, well, man, there you go. I feel like there's a lot of those people, and I'm not sure why they're that way or why they want to be that way.
I don't know. I mean, I guess if you don't have an answer or don't know an answer.
I know, but I do feel like there's a version where you can explore an answer.
Yeah.
Like where you can kind of lay it out and try to reassemble it. But that's a good point, because I am rolling it 2,800 RPMs, and I stomp on it, and I have 500 horsepower. Why is it not hitting it a little harder?
On your car specifically, it has the twin screw supercharger, and that thing is rolling almost full boost at 2,800.
Right. It's not a turbocharger that is lagging.
Right. There's probably a bypass valve that needs to close so it blows off that boost, but it's spinning the blower for sure.
Yeah. All right, we'll talk about SEMA coming up. Well, you know what I want to talk about? I want to talk about Rod Emery and his Outlaw and his $500,000 and Singer at 8.
God, yeah, yeah, yeah. Let's bring up that while you're
The
while
Singer
you're
was like eight
that bring a trailer listing.
Maybe 860 or 760. I can't remember. It was like eight. I think it was eight plus.
Was it RM or was Gooding?
Yeah, RM or Gooding.
RM or Gooding.
Castrol Edge. That's right. Stronger under pressure. That's right. Engines can lose performance due to friction. Castrol Edge with fluid titanium transforms under pressure to keep the metal parts from robbing power. That's right. Rubbing and robbing. Mm-hmm. Rubbing is racing, but not inside the engine. Three times stronger, fool. than a leading full synthetic. It is the best. It's Castrol Edge. Yeah, so
I was on the AutoZone website doing what I do, and I saw a picture of you.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was for the Castrol sweepstakes.
It wasn't from the security camera, was it? Because I stole an air filter. No?
No.
It was a Burbank one?
Yeah, because, you know, SEMA's coming up. You're doing it. You're going to be at the Apex booth, and people win or won, or I don't know what the result is. Castrol handles it, but
yes,
people want a trip. Somebody want a trip
so
to SEMA.
What we want to – what I'd like to drill down upon for those who are listening, whether you're – purchasing a vehicle or thinking about building a vehicle. Oh, also on Bring a Trailer, one of Jonathan Ward's icon Broncos is up there as well. What I'm saying is this. In the past, this market didn't exist. So in terms of buying cars, the market was old Ferraris or old Shelby Mustangs or like kind of vintage cars. But there really wasn't a market for old race cars per se, especially 80s or 70s or Japanese.
Yeah.
You know, there was no old car, old race car market. Yeah, Ferrari GTO.
And I remember seeing even stock cars go across the block at Barrett Jackson with some history.
$8,000.
Yeah, they're just,
no market, no market there. No market for race cars, no market for F1 or anything modern or any F1, really. And then things started to kind of turn a little, and a well-built car would get some cash.
Mm-hmm.
A street car or a, God, what do they call this? Tuner, not tuners, but the stupid pro touring.
Yeah, like a pro touring.
Yeah, pro touring car, whatever. Built right, they started getting good money.
Yeah.
So then it kind of got to this kind of break even point, which is if you spent 2 years and 140 grand building that Camaro, you might get 150 out of it.
Yeah.
You know, but then Singer came along and I think that Singer at RM, oh God, was it RM or is it Gooding? It must have been Gooding. Oh no, could have been RM. I can't remember. Anyway, last year, or this year at Monterey, I think that thing went for eight and change, like 860 or something like that. Or it was either 760 or 860 or something like that. And then Outlaw, which is basically Singer, but Rod Emery and 356, the different body style before the modern 911 body style. One just sold for 500 grand.
Yeah. Is this the second one that's going to bring a trailer for 500?
Oh, man. It was the Singer went for 857.5. I was so far off with my 860. Man. Mm-hmm. So this thing went for 500 and a couple dollars or something, 501 or something like that. It's okay looking cars. We don't like them as much as the Singers. It's obviously well built, but it's just kind of silver and tan. Like, it doesn't look. Not much bling to
it. It's just the platform. I think Rod Emery is great, and I think the stuff he builds is great, and he's such a nice guy. I'm just not particularly a 356 body style fan.
The point is somebody may have had that car built, and it may have come to $330,000, and somebody's wife was pissed because you can buy a new turbo for $175 or $200 or whatever, and you just spent a whole bunch of money on an old one. And the old model was you pay a guy, and these guys are craftsmen, and they have an hourly rate. They got to shape metal and fabricate, and it's in California, and that car ain't cheap. By the time they deliver it, you're $300,000, $350,000 in. Okay, the old model was it's worth $200,000 when they deliver it, and 7 years later you might be able to get $125 for it.
Yeah.
That was the old model. Now you buy the Singer for $650 and it'll be worth $1 million in 2 years.
Yeah. Now, do you think
I don't know what that icon, there's a icon.
Yeah, I saw it.
I don't know how many days are left on that thing.
As we record this, there's less than 24 hours.
Oh, okay. Oh, so what's it up to now?
Was it like $110 or something like that? Does it move?
I think it's $157. Let me.
It's moving. Yeah. Then. It's moving.
Now, do you think the Christopher Titus car, for example, like, do you think he got the worst end of that whole deal? Do you think he paid, you know, $200, $250 to Foose to make his 57 Chevy? He sells it at Barrett Jackson for, I don't know, like $80,000. And it's sitting in a collection, and 2 years from now, it's going to go back to Barrett Jackson and get $210,000.
I don't know that he got $80,000 for it. It feels like $57,000.
Maybe.
But, and I don't know if they have that.
He got 25-30% of what it'd be paid. And then somebody got it for a deal. And do you think it goes back? Because some of the older builds now, like when I go to Barrett Jackson with Brad Fanshawe.
Hold on, I'm going to give Max Pass some more homework while you talk. Foose's Bel Air 57, whatever.
Yeah, 57.
Kind of light blue or whatever.
Convertible. I think it's convertible.
Probably went to Monterey. I think went to Gooding. Yeah. It could have been RM. Damn it. No, went to RM. RM's at the hotel, right? I think it was at the RM, and it must have been like 07 or something like that, or 06, 07, 08, okay. Somewhere in there. But I'm curious if we can find out what that thing sold for.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead. Do we think
that, you know, because some of the older cars, some of the famous older like Boyd Coddington builds, they're coming back to auction. They're getting good money. You know, somebody probably bought them, you know, at a fair price 10 years ago at something like a Barrett Jackson, and now they're starting to pop back up and they're getting pretty good money.
I would assume they are. I would also assume that some of the stuff that I would probably consider, I think here's a take. Here's a hot take. The cars that were done very ZZ Top-y, very 80s or very 90s, a little schmaltzy, perhaps you could say, a lot of billet, everything. And you could sort of look at it, put your finger on it and go, they must have built that between 88 and 92.
Right. Because
I could see exactly what that is. Much like I bought a lot of old houses, like from the 20s and 30s with a lot of charm, but they redid the kitchen in 84.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, 1984 is my kitchen. 1931 is my living room.
Yeah.
You know, now we gotta do it back. I think the key, and I've always said this, you have to kind of put it back to a timelessness. Either put it back exactly how it was.
Yeah.
If the car was built in 1953, then put it exactly back to 1953, or the touches you make need to be timeless. Mm-hmm. So if you take a look at Rod Emery or Jonathan Ward or Eunice Singer, that's the mom. No, I don't know what the Singer guy's name is, but the Singer, Ward, Emery.
Yeah.
You take a look at the Bronco. They're all very different platforms, but you take a look at them and they put them back tastefully that are sort of within the original year of the car, just with upgrades, but not upgrades that smack of, oh, that's ZZ Top 1984.
Yeah, right.
Right?
Right.
So
those hot rods back in the day started off with, you know, somebody drawing on a piece of paper and going, what piece of art can we create? And then where do we start? Well, we start with a 57 Chevy.
But if you've airbrushed Spuds McKenzie on the door, that's not good for resale.
Yeah.
And if you look at the Ward stuff, you look at the stuff I'm talking about, it doesn't really have you don't know what year it was built.
And that's the other thing, too.
The year of the vehicle, but you don't know the year it was modified.
In the last, 7-8 years, the Singer cars, you know, they've done a lot of things and gotten better over the years, but can you tell a big difference between Singer number 5 and Singer number 50?
Yeah, know. And it's not even that. It's that it's same with Jonathan Ward, same with any of these guys. Their careers span decades, but their approach is the same to all the cars. So you don't know what year it's from. And I think that if it feels very 80s, and the problem with Boyd and Chip Foose and guys like that, is a lot of their stuff felt of the period, you know, very of the time.
And,
and there's a color palette to that too.
Yeah, you're buying it differently. You're buying it for that era specific piece of art. You're not necessarily buying it for...
Right, but unfortunately, like the house in the hills from the 30s with the 80s kitchen in it, people walk in and they go, I'm not paying top dollar for this.
A lot of times, like, the wheels do it. You know, the wheels seem to go dated very quickly.
You're seeing a Barrett Jackson, Chip Foose, Bel Air, Scottsdale, 2013-88. Is it light blue?
It's like, it's two-tone. It's like a blue and white.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that feels...
Yeah.
No, sorry.
Okay, so...
That's not his car. Sorry. Don't do Bel Air. Just do Chip Foose.
Do 57 Chevy.
Okay.
Christopher Titus's name would be all over it, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. We'll see if we can find it. But 88K. The car's probably worth more now.
Yeah, that one there.
Yeah, I think so here's the story. I think for guys like me that are thinking about building a SEMA car and building a SEMA Z car and doing something that's really well done and really cool, in the past, the notion of putting $200,000 into something and then having it be worth $88,000 the next day, or that when it was coming home from SEMA, didn't sound that appealing.
Yeah.
Now I think that market has woken up a little bit, and I think if you do the car right and it's really well done and interesting, and the craftsmanship is there, you can get a return on that when you want to do it.
I think the next phase of cars, the cars that we're in now, the builds that are happening now, that years from now, we're going to look at it and go, oh, I remember in, 2018, 19, this was the style, and we're done with that. It's like the crazy kind of wide body things that's going on, like the RWB Porsches and all the tacked on flares that stop like halfway down the fender, and it's kind of cut off. It looks like it's not finished, and it's got kind of a drifting car kind of thing. But I think that style is gonna stop, and we're gonna be like, oh, I remember those 10 years where everyone was doing those flares. And,
right. And, well, every era has a marker for that era, like aesthetically, a sound, musically, blah blah blah, style, women's hair, fashion, you know what I mean? And there's an automotive version of that, and your job is to not fall prey to that when you're building a car. Like, of course you're doing what's really cool now, but look back throughout the 70s. What about the 80s when they had like the basket weave rims and they were the same color as the car, you know, and it looks so 80s'd out now, right? And all that.
Love me some Miami Vice.
Yeah, it's easy to fall prey to that.
With white wheels.
I had a big Spanish house like up in the hills.
Yeah.
And Lynette, and I think one of her friends, I think it was like Jimmy's ex-wife, was like coming over, and she was like doing this shabby chic. You got to make it shabby chic inside.
Oh,
and
I was like,
no, I'm not making it shabby chic. And they're like, why? Shabby chic is so cool. Because it was, was 2006 or something. They're going, shabby chic. And I was going, no. No shabby, it was right 2004 or something, like shabby chic. And I was like, no. You know why? Because I don't want people coming in here in 5 years going, oh, I know what year you decorated this house.
I know, right? I know what TV shows where you were watching on DIY or whatever. Like, I know exactly what you were doing.
Everyone, whether it's a mullet, or whether it's doing a car, or whether it's shabby chic, resist the temptation to dive into whatever's around you, because people will know. You don't want people walking into your kitchen or seeing your car knowing what year you did it.
Yeah.
It should just be timeless and forever.
Yeah.
All
like
right.
Your bush.
Let me let me hit something here. You find anything, Max Panna?
Well, I found one that's previously owned by Chris Titus. It was a 56 Chevy 210.
Let me see that. Is that the blue, like blue and silver?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, because he's got that tonneau cover thing on the back.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
That's 165 in Vegas, 2012, Bear Jackson.
Oh, one for
right.
165.
Now, was there a previous auction? Because he probably sold it earlier than that.
I feel like he did. All right. Yeah, prior to that. And I don't know why I keep thinking Monterey, but keep looking. I'll tell you about betonline.ag. NFL weekly pick'em charity contest. NFL and college football plus MLB playoff action. Visit betonline.ag. Take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Use the promo code PODCAST1 for a 50% sign-up bonus. Matchups, Week 8, Philly at Buffalo, Oakland at Houston, Chargers at Chicago, Green Bay at KC. Oh, that's a good game. Cleveland at New England. That's not as good, but I don't know. Maybe Cleveland will rally a little bit. Got $500 in rewards to give out each week to 5 listeners and $5,000 season-long charity contest. Join the conversation on Twitter with hashtag SportsNetChallenge. This week, Rams at home versus Cincinnati. That's my lock. I'm going 33-10. That's my pick. So use the promo code PODCAST1. Get a 50% sign-up bonus today. BetOnline.ag. All right. So the point is if you're going to go out and build that car, pick a good platform. The problem with a 56 Chevy, it's not really a great jumping off point, is my kind of feeling. Pick a cool, you know, and it doesn't have to be all super sleek and aerodynamic. It's like Ward does those Broncos and they look great.
Yeah.
It's a box, but it's just something, it's kind of a cool box.
Yeah. I would even argue, though, that the Bronco is not that great of a platform to start with, and he actually does make up for it. He does turn it into something.
Well, it's
cool.
It's obviously a different category than a Porsche, but
right.
People,
but is it different than a Mustang or a 57 Chevy or a or whatever?
I think people like the Broncos. There's a lot of nostalgia for those. They're going up in price like hard, and I think it is in that world a pretty cool platform to jump off of.
Yeah, it is, but it's just because it got ignored for so long and everybody did the Mustang and the Camaro.
Right.
And now that almost everything on a Mustang and Camaro has been done, and it's supported by the aftermarket. Anybody that just has a project that they're doing on their own or something with the kids, you know, like there's enough parts out there, you can do whatever you want. And the Bronco had to be custom.
Sorry. RM Monterey 2006. That was my thought. Early Monterey. RM Monterey 2006 unsold at 230.
Should have taken it.
Estimate 3 to 350. Well, the problem is there is no estimate.
He tried to make money on it, and he should have known he wasn't going to make money on it. I'm saying Christopher Tice, but I don't know if he was the one even selling it.
I think he was, I love Chris Tice, but what I'm saying is I don't think he was trying to make money on it. I think it's a one-off car that costs $300 to $350 to produce, and so since there's no comps. You know, the Dino Ferrari, you're not going, I want $700,000. It's not going to work. But so you go, what's the estimate for this car? And then you go, I don't know, it costs $300 to $350 to build. So you put it in for that, and the bidding goes up to $230, and you go, whoa, that's $100,000 less than I spent for this thing 2 years ago. So you go, screw it.
Yeah.
I'll keep it. But what you don't get is that it's going the other direction. So it didn't sell. It did sell 2012 at Barrett Jackson for $180 What was it?
Let me check. I forgot.
Matt, what did
you
say?
Yeah, I thought you said 137. I could have been. I've been talking a lot of numbers.
Yeah, my head's spinning.
It was Barrett Jackson. It was 2012, and it was like either $130 or $180 or somewhere.
Yeah.
Somewhere in there.
Now it's going to be right in the middle. It's going to be 157.
No, I don't think it. I think it was $180 at Barrett Jackson in 2012. That's my guess. But either way.
165.
Oh, you're right.
All right. Pretty close. So kind of fell in there.
All right. Plus the VIG, plus the 10%. We're right at $180. All right.
Maybe that's.
probably included the VIG. So, look, that car, you know, 230 was turned down, and 6 years later, $165 was accepted. So that car's not going the right direction. Now, the question is 2012 is before it started to go back the other way.
And $165 is a good price. If you thought that car went to Barrett Jackson, Scottsdale, coming up 2020, do you think that car does better or worse than 165?
That's a Barrett Jackson 2020.
Yeah.
I think it does, because I think that market has corrected and turned around and started going the other direction. I think it has worked better for sportier cars and less cruisers. So I think it's held down and held back a little by the sort of cruise aspect of it, whereas the Singer stuff is outlaw, you know, going through the roof. So my prediction is it would do better. And I would say to the tune
of
I'd have it I think it could get 215, 220. Not a ton better, but I think it would do better.
Okay. I think it could do better, but I think the way for it to do better is the current owner needs to advertise it and say, we freshened up the car, we fixed a few known flaws. Like, it's very famously, there was some belt issues, and that cover, engine cover, was complicated, and there was a few things. They need to say, we've done some upgrades to it, it's a very good, reliable car. I think he's going to have to put $30,000 into it, and I think he's going to get the $30,000 back, but not much more than that. I don't know if it goes quite as high as making tons of money on it, but I think I think it does. Well, it's pretty up there as it is. Anyway, let me tell you guys about Geico. As we're getting ready to go to SEMA, so much to do. I've got a to-do list: drop off the truck at Galpin, get the car audio installed, get the brakes made, pick up the wheels. Well, you don't have to drop off or pick up anything with Geico. You can save hundreds of dollars on car insurance. You can add that to your list. You just go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. So if you want some extra money in your pocket, this is the most rewarding to-do you can do today. Go to geico.com.
All right. So you're about to say something?
No, just This weekend, as you're listening to this, you're going to be hitting the road, Phoenix, and where are you going? Utah? Salt Lake?
Yeah, Salt Lake Wise City? Guys, tonight and tomorrow night.
I'm heading out to Vegas, quick trip, to drive the new GT500 on the track out there, the new Shelby GT500, 760 horsepower.
I saw that.
The 7-speed paddle shift.
I saw that showcased on Jay Leno's Garage. It looks like a ton of car.
It looks like a ton of car, yeah.
I mean, 760 horsepower. Jesus Christ.
Earlier this week, we had Alistair Weaver from Edmunds come in, and Edmunds buys cars for their fleet to do long-term testing, and they specced out. They bought a new Shelby GT500 on order and the new Corvette C8.
Ooh.
And they got them both priced, you know, around the 80, 85 range. They didn't go crazy with all the carbon stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, it's so great. You can get those cars for the 80, 85 range.
The Corvette's going to be down 300 horsepower. 300 horsepower to that thing.
So it's getting a little iffy because there's some dyno tests that have been happening on the car. The car is rated at 495 horse.
Mm-hmm.
But when you put it on the dyno, you kind of have to, and don't quote me on this. I think Motor Trend did the test. You got to read their article. You put it on the dyno. You put it in gear. You put it in whatever's the one-to-one gear so you can get like a true number. And I don't think the new Corvette has a one-to-one. It has like a 0.85 and a 0.91 and a 0.11. You know, so the numbers were skewed a little, but they're saying that they were getting like 600 something horsepower.
Oh, well, we'll know when they
be a very underrated horsepower.
We know when they do the quarter mile test against the GT Ford or 0 to 60, but quarter mile or whatever lap around Willow Springs or whatever it is. We'll know if that number's closer to 6 than 495 because we'll see more comparable numbers in like the quarter mile.
And it'll be a fun test. I don't know that you're cross-shopping those cars, but if you are, this will be a fun head-to-head test. I'm sure a bunch of the books will do it.
Yeah.
And it'll be, I'm excited to go out there and see this car and drive it, and it should be fun.
It's going to be awesome. Yeah. It looks like, and the interior looks good too.
It's probably going to be cooler there than it is.
They've worked it all out. All right. So, Wise Guys tonight, tomorrow night, couple tickets left. My stand-up special, not Taco Bell material. You can get that on Amazon, Apple TV, and all that kind of stuff. And YouTube channel, youtube.com/Adam Kroll for all the stand-up there as well. Go to AdamKroll.com for all the live stuff, and Shift and Steer available on iTunes and Podcast One as well. Check out our website. We'll put pictures of those cars up there, carcastshow.com, or check us on Facebook, or follow Matt at Motorator. Until next time, it's Adam Kroll for Matt the Motorator. DeAndrea saying keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Carcast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on carcastshow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit carcastshow.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.